intercepted. LeBron. Lakers doing a nice job of getting their hands in the passing lane. Dwight Howard up top, bang.
That was the new sound of NBA basketball. Fake crowd noise and all. From scrimmages at the Clean Site in Walt Disney World in Florida. The league resumes play tomorrow night. But after months of conversation about how this will all work, are the teams ready to play? Today, we poke our heads into the bubble to examine what's happened so far in Orlando, which teams will rise to the moment, and who might face an early exit. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, July 29th. This is ESPN Daily. Jackie, it's good to hear your voice.
Hello, Mina. How are you today? You trounced me on around the horn. I'm almost over it. It's okay.
You beat me so many times at this point. It's
all
really
good.
You're the Lakers and I'm the Suns. Jackie McMullen is a senior writer for ESPN and frequent Around the Horn panelist, where she has earned 244 wins compared to my own 40. She also happens to have covered the NBA for nearly 40 years. Speaking of the Lakers and the Suns, the NBA returns tomorrow night. And amidst all of the craziness in Major League Baseball, the NBA bubble seems to be mostly working. But the league is not without some coronavirus-related drama, thanks to one Lou Williams, whose sanctioned trip outside of the NBA's Clean Site included an unsanctioned visit to a certain establishment. Can you explain for everyone what happened?
Well, Lou Williams left the bubble for a funeral for a very close family friend in Atlanta. And he has said many times, it's documented on social media, that his favorite place to go eat is the Magic City something or another. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not someone that goes to strip clubs often or ever, if I'm truthful. Although I did go once to the Butterfly Lounge against my will in Washington, D.C., but that's a whole nother story that we don't have time for. So Lou Will claims that he went there to have the wings, which are named after him. There's some lemon pepper wings named after him, and that he went there simply to eat. And then he was on his way with his mask and so on and so forth. And Mina, by the way, I believe him. I don't think he went to see a stripper. He probably was hungry. But my goodness, what was he doing there?
What he did after the family gathering is the center of an NBA security discussion.
A rapper who was at the club took pictures of him and tagged him in the photo.
He is the poster child of what not to do. They absolutely made an example out of what Lou Will did.
It boggles my mind. He clearly did not think this through. The 130 some odd pages in the NBA report, it spells out very clearly what has to happen if you leave the bubble and for what reasons. Was it a clean leave and a clean return? And of course, Lou's was not. So the NBA has taken action and he's got a 10-day quarantine. And Mina, this kills his team. It hurts his team. It's very important to their team. They've already had other players that had to leave for emergencies, Montrezl Harrell, Pat Beverly. So they were shorthanded anyway. And now he comes back. He's going to miss two games. And he's going to miss the practice time that this team, more than any, so desperately needs. Because if you remember, during the course of the year, they were trying to get Paul George up to speed. Kawhi was doing his load management. Injury thing. So this is a bad day for the Clippers and an even worse day for sweet Lou Williams, who we all love. But he blew it.
So would you say missing practice and, in Lou's case, potentially a couple of these seeding games matters more for the Clippers than other teams?
I think I would say that because they needed time together. Every time I talked to Doc before, during, and after the pandemic, you know, he kept saying to me, if we can just get some time, some continuity, I know we're the best team. He believes that. He really believes that they can win the whole thing. And I think he feels they've done a tremendous job with Kawhi. And you know, when he's strong, you could certainly make the argument that he's the best player in the game. And he won't even factor into the MVP discussion because he didn't play every night. And I think voters, me included, still put value on that. But that's not to say that playoff Kawhi can't be the most impactful player in the whole postseason.
Kawhi aggressive to the rim.
the Clippers open against the other powerhouse in the West, the Lakers, who have had to, you know, face their own fair share of challenges, including players actually opting out. Right. But they are on top of the division in part because of the absences you mentioned, players like Kawhi missing part of the season. Do you think that they're the better team, though?
The Lakers? I think the Lakers benefited most from the pandemic, in my estimation, because of LeBron. LeBron is a force of nature. We all know that. He was having a career type of year, for especially for a 35-year-old. But once everybody stopped, then it becomes, number one, a mental game. And number two, the physical resolve to stay in shape, to manage your body. And nobody does that better than LeBron James. Absolutely nobody. So I felt coming out of this that LeBron was going to be in the best position of almost anybody to really impose his will on the game. Now, losing Avery Bradley hurts. Losing Rondo hurts, because depth will matter here, especially in the early going when you're playing games day after day the way they're going to. But I'd rather be the Lakers right now than the Clippers. Yes, I would.
Mm. Well, then the question is, would you rather be the Lakers or the Bucks, right? Who are by most metrics the NBA's best team. But, you know, there is a debate. Who benefits from the stoppage? The older established teams or a younger team with the ostensible league MVP? You wrote a story a few weeks ago where you interviewed Coach Bud, and he said he felt like the stoppage was a great benefit to his team and to Giannis in particular. What do you make of that assessment of where his team sits now?
Well, he's true in part, Mina, because what Bud was talking about with regards to Giannis, and I think they've been off so long, everybody forgot that Giannis had a knee injury. And what Bud was saying, and I think he's correct in his logic, was that it wasn't a super serious injury, but it wasn't, oh, he just needs a day off kind of injury either. And his concern was that a guy like Giannis, like most of elite players, are going to want to play no matter what. And his concern was that Giannis would have rushed back because he didn't want to miss games. Of course, they lost their final three games before the pandemic hit because Giannis wasn't playing in those games. And so Bud thought it was a blessing in disguise because Giannis could heal. He could heal properly without the pressure of having to come back too soon. I'm all on board with that. But the other question I asked Bud was, I thought the Bucks, more than anybody, had managed this season up until this stoppage brilliantly. Their best player, Giannis, presumptive MVP, he was only averaging, Mina, 30 minutes a game. That's incredible for a superstar of his magnitude. And everyone else on that Bucks team was averaging that or less per game heading into this sudden work stoppage. So when you talk about the NBA and the war of attrition over 82 games, they were in the best position of anybody. And now they're not, because that advantage has gone away. Bud said, I wasn't even thinking about that, Jackie. Good answer. Not sure I believe him.
What did you make of the video that circulated of Giannis? I think he shot 5 straight corner threes.
Right. Yep. I think that's great. Here's the thing about Giannis shooting threes, period. He's getting better at it. He takes it seriously. Bud loves it. But nothing's going to change, Mina. At the end of a tight game, everybody's going to beg Giannis to shoot threes rather than come barreling through the key and dunking on their head.
High pick and roll. Giannis on the loose. Oh, he didn't. Oh, my gosh.
I feel the same way about Ben Simmons. I'm so glad that Ben Simmons is shooting threes, and he's done it in this little preseason post-bubble, whatever we want to call it. But the fact of the matter remains, late in the game, everybody's going to hang off Ben Simmons. That's just how it is. That's true for Giannis. That's true for him. That won't change, no matter how many they hit.
So while these teams will benefit from the stoppage for, you know, health reasons, as you've laid out,
right,
the quality of basketball could be kind of ugly.
It could.
At the jump.
Yes.
And we also don't know how hard they're going to try, right? I mean, some of these teams' seeding matters more to them than others, but it seems plausible that with these elite teams that we've been talking about, the coaches might, you know, ease back a little bit. What do you expect from the opener and then the first few games of the season?
I think you've hit on it. If I'm Doc Rivers and I've got Kawhi Leonard right where I want him, in the right frame of mind, in the right physical state of mind, I'm going to be very, very careful. If I'm Bud, I'm going to be the same with Giannis, who's going to want to come out like gangbusters, as we just discussed. If I'm the Celtics, I am going to play Kemba Walker 9 minutes in these preseason games, and maybe I'm going to let him play a few more minutes when we start. But I think everyone understands that you've got to think about this over the long haul of it. And I know it's not a super long haul, but we are talking, if everything goes the way every team in the league wants, you're talking October. So you've got to plan this properly.
But the Lakers are going to try against the Clippers, right?
Oh, of course they are. And believe me, the Clippers will be trying against the Lakers. And I'm sure Lou is going to be kicking himself for not being in that game. You know, I was at the All-Star game in February. I went on Adrian, you know, Woj's podcast, and Pat Beverly was the guest, and the three of us did the podcast. And one of the stories he was telling us, I was asking him about the difference. They share the same floor, obviously. A home Clipper game against the Lakers versus a road Clipper game against the Lakers. And he said, well, as you know, most of the fans are Laker fans, so it's a road game for us either way. Except for behind the scenes. And he started describing, you know, there's a little weight room in the building. He said he was in there, you know, game day, and a couple of the Lakers were in there. And they had music playing, and he turned it off. He said, Clipper music. You get to play your own music the next time. So it's a very real rivalry. It's really a great one.
All right, after the break, let's talk about the other opener and some of the other teams that will be relevant in this postseason.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Jackie, there's been some speculation, maybe in these parts, that the NBA created these seeding games because they wanted us to watch Zion Williamson. And I want to watch Zion Williamson,
too.
So I'm not angry about it. And in fact, he is playing in the very first game of the restart. But a fork did get thrown into things a couple weeks ago when the team announced he was leaving the bubble to attend to a family matter. What happened there? And do we expect him to play on Thursday night?
I think he will play Thursday night, and there was a family matter, like there is every, it seems like, on every team. Just Houston's one of the latest ones, with Austin Rivers leaving on a family matter. I mean, here's the problem with all of these guys leaving. We don't know exactly what happens when they go, but they are tested daily, and Zion passed all those tests. And I think everybody would like to see him, Alvin Gentry included. But you were just talking before the break about being careful with these players. If I'm the Pelicans, I'm being so careful because, as you know, Zion missed most of the year, a good chunk of the year. And I want him back. I want him playing. I want him dunking.
They go to Williamson, facing up and driving and smashing the rim. Clean up on aisle five.
But I'm not going to play him 30-plus minutes trying to get that eighth seed to get my clock cleaned by, you know, fill in the blank.
So, Jackie, we should probably talk about their opponent also in this game. They're playing Utah, who don't get a ton of respect, in part, I think, deservedly now because they don't have Bojan Bogdanović.
Right. Right.
But they're still a competitive squad. I mean, do you think they've got a shot in this thing?
I don't know. Bogdan, that's a huge loss for them. The Jazz had a very, very strange season up until now. You know, they brought Michael Conley Jr. on, and we all thought that was just going to be the greatest thing ever. We thought he was going to fit seamlessly in with Gobert and Mitchell and everybody else. And of course, that's not what happened at all. And then Mike Conley had his share of injuries. And it's been a very odd year for them. And of course, when Rudy Gobert tested positive, and everybody's seen the video now of him touching all the microphones, and then Donovan Mitchell tested positive, there was some friction there between their two best players. Understandably, I feel, on Donovan Mitchell's part because of the recklessness with the way that Rudy Gobert handled himself. Now with taking Bojan out of there, I don't know what's going to happen with this team. They've had a lot of obstacles thrown in their way. Quinn Snyder's a terrific coach, so I'm sure he'll figure something out. But they've had a really kind of a very unusual year, I would say.
Well, speaking of unusual years, I think the team that everyone's kind of the most intrigued by, maybe that's the right word. I don't know if you can guess.
Oh, I can. The Sixers.
You got it. The Sixers.
So, of course.
Everyone's intrigued in part because they've made so many changes to their lineup. Can you explain what those changes are and what they mean?
Sure. Well, so remember on the offseason, everybody thought the Sixers won the offseason by signing Al Horford away from the Boston Celtics, their rivals in the Atlantic Division and in the Eastern Conference. And everybody thought Al would be a great fit with the Sixers. And it just, I'm not blaming it all on Al, but it just didn't come to fruition. And the numbers with Embiid and Al on the floor were horrific. They were bad, really, really bad. And so at the break, I think Brett Brown had a lot of time to think about what was going to happen. And I remember now, too, again, right before the break, Ben Simmons got hurt his back and missed a bunch of games. So Brett Brown went to Shake Milton, gave him those minutes at point guard, and he was phenomenal.
Ball deflected. Shake Milton with the defense. Goes inside and throws it down with the left hand. Milton's going to have to put it up, drives to the rim, left-handed bank shot is good. Shake Milton, as the shot clock expires, he's got 23 first-half points.
He's shooting 45% from the three-point line, Shake Milton. And the team played really, really well. I'll give anybody on this pod right now extra points if you can tell me Shake Milton's real name.
It's not Shake?
It is not. It is Melvin Benjamin Shake Milton.
That is phenomenal.
Isn't that phenomenal? He was a G League player. He's a revelation. I think he's the real deal. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. He's been a very fierce defender. So anyway, Brett Brown's thinking about all this. And of course, we know that Ben and Embiid, their numbers aren't nearly as bad as everybody wants them to be playing on the floor together, but they're not outstanding. So when he had all this time to think, Horford was struggling. He came up with the idea that I'm going to move Ben Simmons to forward. I'm going to make Shake Milton my starting point guard. And I'm going to have Al come off the bench so that when he does play meaningful minutes, he won't always be next to Embiid because they bump into each other. And Al's had a horrible year shooting the three, but I really think this move will give him better looks and give him a little more flow of the ball, a little more pick and roll. I think this is a really, really good move, except the lineup that the Philadelphia 76ers will put forth when we resume play for real has played exactly 0 minutes together. So that's a pretty big gamble when you're, a couple weeks away, really, from starting the playoffs. I like it, though. I'm all for it. I'm all in on Benjamin Melvin Shake Milton. Actually, I did it wrong. It's Melvin Benjamin Shake Milton.
Melvin Benjamin Shake
Milton. I'm all in on Melvin. Yes.
I am, too, now. Jackie, you wrote a retrospective of the 1999 Spurs, who won championship in a strike-shortened season. And, it's been debated if that championship is as worthy as other championships. What does your reporting there tell you about how this year's champion will be looked on?
Well, it's funny. I thought this would be a good idea because Bud is the thread between both. Mike Budenholzer was an assistant coach on that 99 team. I think he had just turned 30. He was a young assistant for Pop. And of course, Pop is only in his third year, only his second full season as a head coach in the NBA. So think about that for a minute. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk to Bud since he's involved with a team that has a really good chance to win this year and was part of that team that had won in 99. And he felt very strongly that neither team should have an asterisk next to it. And I think that's how most people who are playing now feel because it's so difficult. Think about it. The stoppage, the inability for many people to work out. I mean, NBA all-stars were ordering huffy hoops, outdoor hoops online so they could get shots up. When you think about all the difficulties these players went through just to get back to this point, you can understand why many of them don't feel it should be an asterisk. Giannis said it, he thinks this will be the hardest championship to win.
What are you most looking forward to when this all comes back?
I just want to see basketball again. I know that's a primal answer, but it's a primitive answer, I guess. I'm a Neanderthal in that way. I just want to see competition again. I want to see the best players in the world play basketball and have it mean something. And really, that's enough for me. I'm really excited to see what happens. I think the Bucks should win.
Ahead for Hill, back for Giannis. What a pass! Giannis out of the combo and George Hill.
But it kind of feels to me like maybe the Lakers could. I don't know what's going to happen with the Sixers. Does Shake Milton take them on a rocket ship to the moon?
Milton for three. Bang! Shake Milton from downtown.
Do Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown come back playing the way they were playing just before things stopped in Boston?
Tatum gets a wide open look and knocks it down. Jason Tatum.
Chris Paul, what a renaissance in Oklahoma City.
Paul on the drive, got hit and banks it in.
Can the Rockets hold it together? Mike D'Antoni, will he keep his job?
3-on-2 for the Rockets. Harden with the step through. Got it! The beard strikes again.
I mean, there's so many wonderful things going on. So many great storylines.
Well, I am looking forward to them too. I'm looking forward to the basketball. And you are not a Neanderthal, though I do have some questions about that trip you took in Washington, D.C. that we can discuss after this is over.
We could do that.
Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you, Mina.
Coming up, why some NFL players are taking a pass on the 2020 season.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Here's another story I want you to know. While some baseball players are wondering if their games will be canceled in the wake of the Marlins' COVID-19 outbreak, or in the case of Miami, whether they'll even play again, NFL players are trickling into camp. But not all of them are showing up. This week, players were given the option to opt out for the season. Those who are considered high risk can earn $350,000 in an accrued season, while others can earn $150,000. And so far, a few big names have taken the league up. You've got Devin Funchess, wide receiver on the Packers, defensive lineman Michael Pierce in Minnesota, and Eddie Goldman in Chicago, Eagles wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, whose story we told you on this podcast. Meanwhile, in New England, there's been a slew of starters opting not to play, including fullback Danny Vitale, safety Patrick Chung, right tackle Marcus Cannon, and linebacker Dante Hightower, team captain and, of course, Super Bowl champion. Some of these players might be concerned that their guaranteed earnings are at risk if the season is canceled, but many are opting out for health reasons. Pierce is considered high risk because of respiratory concerns. Cannon is a cancer survivor. Hightower has a newborn baby. And Funchess cited the experience of watching family members battle COVID-19 firsthand. Now, it's still early and more players may continue to opt out. But these stories are already a reminder of how wide-ranging and devastating the pandemic has been. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.